you did. Republican fundraising answers are all in the family. This is quite a night. Republicans in 22 cities having dinner together with one thing in common. Nobody's ordering peanut butter or grits. It's been quite a week. Last night's confrontation and Barbara Walters' newscasting debut. The second debate and the first coming. Now, I love Barbara, but all that fuss that turned out to be the most exciting event on TV since the $6 million man held hands with a bionic woman and shorted out Philadelphia. I want to tell you, this is politics tonight. Everything's politics. I understand Lester Mattis and Eugene McCarthy are down in the coffee shop demanding equal food. And all the stars are here. Randolph Scott, Fred Astaire, Eva Gabor. Eva's been doing very well lately, but Zsa's been having a few problems. She's still trying to get custody of the Diamond Lane. And it was great news to hear that Governor Reagan's going to be here, so we know the strike against Ford is over. And not bad to think that Cary Grant is here. Do you think the two of us in one room is too much? No, Gary and I have a lot in common. We're both suave, sophisticated, attractive to women. That's not the punchline. And we both starred in a lot of great motion pictures, but he always got the girl. Of course, working with Crosby, I'm lucky if I get the whole of the Minute Maid. But doesn't he look great? He still draws adoring glances from every woman in the room. He's sort of a sexagenarian Fonzie. I love it. But he's great. But this is a very worthy cause tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Part of the proceeds will go to keep Nelson Rockefeller going until he can find a new job. And there are stars all over the country participating in this Victory Fund dinner. John Wayne is in Houston. Their dinner was a little late. He insisted they put all the tables in a circle. Roll that over a while, huh? No, Wayne wanted Houston. He was dressed for it. Wayne's always dressed for Texas. Even wears spurs on his pajamas. And with John is Congressman Jack Kent, the former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. He's a wonderful guy. And I'll tell you one thing. If he could sidestep like Jimmy Carter, he'd still be playing. Bob Dole is in Chicago, the Windy City. But during election year, that's kind of a redundancy, isn't it? Jimmy Stewart's in Dallas with Bill Buckley and Tom Landry, and by the time they said hello to one another, dinner was over down there. That's the group. Jimmy explains the joke to Buckley while Landry prays for it. And out there in Wichita, there's Secretary of the Commerce Elliot Richardson and Chad Everett. Chad's standing by to give a swine flu shot to any Republican who's been in contact with a Democrat. Governor John Connally is in Tampa with Merle Oberon. That's where I wanted to be. I hope he doesn't have too much lust in his heart. But I think Merle is safe. There's very little scoring in Tampa this season. We put Pat Boone in Georgia because his shoes are whiter than Jimmy Carter's teeth, although a half size smaller. And we were paying, but we're here, ladies and gentlemen, paying tribute to the president. The only one in this room will be wearing black tie and skis. The president spent the last couple of days campaigning here in California because this is an important state. There's a lot of popular votes here, electoral votes, disenchanted Democrats, and most important, it's the home of most of Betty Ford's dancing partners. And you notice I'm not doing any ethnic jokes tonight. My waiter bears a very close resemblance to John Dean, so I thought I'd lay out of that. Now, it's really a shame a guy lost his job because of a bad joke. I know people who have made a career out of them. Now, Earl Butz lost his job for the same reason that Archie Bunker is a star. But I guess it's a sign of the new morality in Washington. A man lost his job without his secretary being involved. But I said, in politics, you have to be careful what you say. Vice President Rockefeller's cleaning up his act. He got his finger manicured. And I know how he felt when he gave that heckler the one-finger salute. What else could he do? After all, Hallmark doesn't have a card for that. And they made such a fuss about some lobbyist paying the president for his golfing weekends when he was a congressman. What nonsense. If you ever played golf with him, you know that the weekends cost him. I'd be glad to play for the president's green fees if he'd play me even. That's the best investment since Polaroid. Now, the last time we played, actually, he beat me. Of course, I'd have to shoot 137 to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show, and I want to introduce this first man. Nelson Rockefeller has devoted his entire life to public service. He's the only public official who held more jobs than Elliot Richardson. In the last 40 years, Nelson Rockefeller's proven that there's nothing he can't do except install his own telephone. Nelson Rockefeller has never hesitated to stand up and be counted. Anytime America's needed a volunteer, Rocky is ready and delivers in first-class style. He's never let this country down. A great credit to our land, ladies and gentlemen, our Vice President, Nelson Rockefeller.
But it's not enough to get it done. I feel more like a pilot than a speaker. No Republicans have just one message tonight at this salute dinner. Jerry Ford should, can, and will be the next president of the United States. The nation's worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. Yet in 2 short years, Jerry Ford has restored trust and confidence to the White House. He's cut inflation in half, and the economy is the upswing. Americans are once again optimistic about the future, and America is at peace throughout the world. With another great Republican, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Jerry Ford was able to do it because he's a leader with compassion and guts. Because he has a deep concern for people, and he's had the courage to do the tough things that would protect their long-term best interests. He knows that the political party quickly, tyrannical governments, territories, only make things worse in the long run. He said, you have to say no to excessive spending. He knows that economic freedom is indivisible from political freedom, and that people cannot enjoy human dignity unless our system provides economic opportunity. President Ford recognizes the proper role of government to help people to help themselves, not to legislate, regulate, and dominate every waking hour of our lives. Jerry Ford grasps the greatness of America, the goodness and the creativity of her people, and the unlimited opportunities that lie ahead. Jerry Ford is a president whose vision of the future of America is rooted in his deep faith in the fundamental values and institutions that brought this nation to its greatness. When the American voters step into that booth on November 2nd, they're going to ask themselves basically one question. In whom can I place my trust and confidence to meet the problems of the next 4 years at all in the world? There's just one answer. Jerry Ford, our next president.
The American people. country. Some 31 thousand miles, some 34 states, 33 out of the last 40 days. And I know something about what our people expect in their leadership. I know something about what our people want in a president. And the formula is simple. They want a man of integrity. They want a man of experience. And they want a man of vision. Today they are attempting to do presidential contenders against those standards. And how do they assess integrity? My dictionary defines integrity as soundness, incorruptibility, and completeness. So if our people are determined on this quality, they must first know all there is to know about a man. They have to see him whole, with certainty, without question. He has to be a man who hides nothing because he has nothing to hide. What we are hearing about President Ford's opponent, that people aren't certain where he stands. He confuses them. They're uncertain about him. Like King Lear, he shouts to us, I will do such things, what they are yet, I know not. They shall be the wonders of the earth. What we hear about President Ford, that our people know him very well. What they know, they like and respect. They know that the man who says what he means and means what he says, that he says everything we need to know on the question of integrity. Which is the man of experience? There is only one choice. President Ford brings 26 years of government experience to his job. He understands the budget. He understands the economy. He understands the workings of government, the responsibilities of foreign policy, the details and demands of our defense establishment. And two short years of experience has proven itself. Yes, today we are at peace. Today our economy, crippled by past war, inflation, and recession, is slowly healing and turning back towards prosperity. This is the first time we've had prosperity in peacetime since President Eisenhower left office. And finally, who is a man of nation? Maybe the best way to answer that is more questions. Which man points us towards the future? More and more government, less and less state loan pay, less and less freedom to decide our own future, determine our own destiny. That is not vision. It is not a future that the signers of our Constitution envisioned as a result of their courageous labor. It is not a world we want for our children. Which man points to the future with the rich wisdom of the past, reminding our people that they, and not the government, are the soul and sinew of this nation, that they and not the government determine what they land, the land they pass on to their children. Will continue to be strong and rich and free. Now, I call that vision. I call that vision formed by confidence and pride and love of our nation and all its possibilities. I see no vision of a man who places himself on a pedestal and says, trust me. But a man who stands down to the people and says to them, trust yourselves and let us believe in one another. That is a man for America's future. That man is near of our core. I take great pride in sharing with you the opportunity to help continue this great leadership. Thank you, Mr. President.
No matter who gets elected, he's going to get work, I'll tell you that. I know you all saw the second debate,
And I just want to report that Michigan is still undefeated and untouched. I think the president might have been a little overtrained, because at lunch today he said to his leader, "I'm telling this straight from the shoulder, bring me some coffee." Now you can laugh all you want to be, you don't laugh at the president. I was even smiling after the debate last night, he's seen enough teeth. One debate with Jimmy Carter by seeing Jaws twice. No, it wasn't too friendly. They were tough and aggressive for 90 minutes. They made Norton and Alley look like Donnie and Marie. No, the president looked like he was still playing center for Michigan, and Carter looked like he just brought in a play from Lee Hayes. Actually, Jerry Ford lets his record speak for him. Jimmy Carter depends on Playboy magazine. Now, Jimmy Carter told Playboy magazine that he lusts after beautiful women, but only in his mind. He can always have a great career in Washington anyway. With thoughts like that, he'll make a terrific congressman, I'll tell you that. Carter's campaign slogan is "The White House or bust." And after the Playboy magazine interview, you kind of wonder which he wants most. But what a mixture that is. Politics and peanut butter. You could wind up with a president that sticks to the roof of the White House. And I want to tell you, I want to say that both candidates are ready for the third debate. Ford ordered a dozen custard pies, and Carter will be up on the roof with a bucket of hot hominy grits. There is one more debate, I think that's what we're doing. Do we really need three reruns of the war between the North and the South? Do we really? There's a lot of people, a lot of wonderful people on this program, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a lot of gal singers around, and very few who combine personality, looks and talent as magnificently as our next guest. She's excited audiences all over the world with her purity of tone, her phrasing, and her unique style. From Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Vicki Collins.
I'm alive. American Lung Association. That was the first time that I've met President Ford. And I've never really gone out to anybody from any country. But here was the man from the moment I met, and if you're listening and watching, I liked him immediately. I have been to the White House before. But coming from a very poor Mexican American family that didn't have anything, and the oldest of seven, to find out for myself that I also could have made it to the White House was quite lovely for me. And he made me feel like it was a home. Here's a song that everybody knows all over the country. You know the lyrics completely in English, but I would like to sing them for you in Spanish. The most beautiful song. No tiene razón.